Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxies, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Brian!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that, stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Hello and welcome to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. You are listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. I am joined on a Wednesday afternoon by the one, the only, William Walter. How we doing today, Will?
That meme where it says, like, generic guys in their mid-20s will say, the man, the myth, the legend, and it's just their friend Greg or something. That's the intro you just gave me.
The one, the only. There's only one William Walter that I'm aware of. Are there more of you?
Probably a pretty common name if I Googled it, honestly. But.
Is it? All right. Well, you spell Will W-Y-L as well, which is an interesting tangent. We can go down at a different time. But folks,
don't get me started on that one.
You are listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. If you want to share a tangent with us, 844-967-2789, broadcasting live from the Solidarity Realty Studios on Madison's near West Side. For Mad Radio 92.7 FM, WMDX 1580 AM, and around the state of Wisconsin on your local civic media station near you. If you're listening, we've got a little topic we want to dive into. Want to hear your thoughts, 844-967-2789. Because, Will, it is a theoretical question. Is it better to respond to a crisis, an emergency? Speaking of in the terms of the government, is it better for the government to respond to a crisis by over-responding, making sure faster, quicker, more resources are put out with a little bit of waste at the end? Say you look at all of everything that was spent in hindsight and there was a little waste. Is it better for that, or is it better to be more prudent and not as responsive, but risk losing lives, saving people, for saving dollars? 844-967-2789. Want to hear your thoughts, because there's a new audit by the Legislative Audit Bureau here in the state of Wisconsin. This piece written up over at the AP, the Associated Press, and it talks about an audit reviewing the state of Wisconsin's Department of Health Services response to the COVID-19 pandemic. And Will, it's got, I think, a pretty interesting takeaway, because it prompts the question, is it better to react and have a response that is as fast as possible to try to save as many lives as possible, or is it better to be prudent and not spend the money, not get the resources out as quickly as possible? What do you think, Will?
Well, you know, we talk about, I think, this concept similarly all the time, but not necessarily in relation to, you know, specifically in this situation, the government's response. Is it better in general to be reactive of a problem or situation, or do you want to be proactive? Would you rather be better prepared ahead of time that you don't have to worry about any situations that arise, or do you just want to, you know, fire from the hip whenever something goes wrong, whenever something needs to be taken care of, and just hope it works itself out in the end? I could sit here and make comparisons in a million different ways. When you go on vacation, would you rather overpack and not, you know, if some weird situation comes up and you're going to wish you had X, Y, or Z mm-hmm. with you? Or would you rather underpack? It'll be a little easier to travel, but then if a problem arises, you're not prepared accordingly.
You don't have you what know, you
we
need.
Could take that. You don't have what you need, right? And then you either have to go buy another one, which is going to be more financially wasteful in the long term, or you just plan better ahead of time, take a little bit of initiative, knowing that these situations might be there. You bring it with you. You might not need it, fine, but I'm a firm believer in better safe than sorry in virtually every situation, because through, you know, it's granted it's personal experience, but over the course of my life, I have found myself in situations where it's like, dang, I wish I thought about bringing this and I didn't. I really wish I would have.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. I think that's a way that's an approachable way to think about it. But in the terms of this piece, the article over at the Associated Press, audit faults grant and ventilator distribution in Wisconsin during height of COVID-19. And so looking back, Monday morning quarterbacking, the state's response to how it got grants and ventilators out distributed throughout the state, the Legislative Audit Bureau went through and saw that maybe all the documentation wasn't there. Maybe they didn't respond with all of the paperwork necessary. And it's an interesting question, because reading from the piece, the nonpartisan Legislative Audit Bureau reviewed documentation for 31 grants totaling $3.2 million that were a part of nearly $160 million in grants the state agency distributed between the start of the pandemic in March 2020 through June 2022. The money went to long-term healthcare and emergency medical service providers who were on the front lines of the pandemic, the people that needed the resources and money most during the height of the pandemic. That's me editorializing a little bit. That's not in the piece. The audit said 10 grant recipients, 10 of those 31 reviewed, were awarded $518,700, did not submit sufficient documentation to support their applicants, or the amounts requested. So is it better to get the $160 million out as quickly as possible and maybe be talking about a couple of $100,000? It's going to be interesting to see how this gets covered now, Will, because if you want to take a look back to 2020, the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic, there were more funds that were lost by the state of Wisconsin, not from the way that the Department of Health Services was applying grants and ventilator distribution, but by state lawmakers acting quick enough to respond and initiate the federal funds that were available to the state. Because reading about this audit, Will, it got me questioning. Okay, we got $500,000 in question about these grants from the way that they were distributed, not having the proper paperwork. Not saying that it was improper, just saying there wasn't all the information there. And it jogged my memory. Back in 2020, we had Republican lawmakers that were delaying responding to the federal funds available to the tune of $25 million that the state missed out on because the Republican-led legislature did not vote to pass an emergency declaration quick enough to the tune where the state of Wisconsin missed out on $25 million in federal funds. So it's going to be interesting to see, Will, how some of the individuals that here in Wisconsin talk about the news, talk about current events, how they're going to portray the Department of Health Services from this nonpartisan Legislative Audit Bureau audit, compared to then those individuals and where they stood on, back in 2020, Republican state lawmakers missing out on $25 million in funds.
It sounds like a way to kind of avoid responsibility. You know, oh, darn it, we missed the deadline. Well, that's not our fault. We wanted to do this. We're not the ones who rejected the $25 million. We just, you know, didn't follow the proper rules. Sorry, you should, you know, take it up to the next level. They're the ones who impose this deadline on us.
So is it better to overreact, get the funds out quick, respond to a crisis, or is it better to wait, be reserved, and maybe miss out on funds, but maybe not spend the funds in a way that would possibly lead to waste? 844-967-2789. We want to hear your thoughts. Again, it's 844-96-PARTY. You can call or text. And Will, it's just asks a very interesting question about how I think it gets to the center of, should government be proactive or reactive?
That is the question in its entirety. And I think, you know, I could sit here and give you a million different analogies to compare the different approaches that I hear from like a worldview perspective. Another example might be with benefits for impoverished individuals, right? I hear frequently, oh, people are taking advantage of the system and blah, blah, blah. Okay, well, what's better? For 100 people who are in need to receive the need that they deserve and have 3 or 4 people taking advantage of it, or 20 people don't receive the help that they desperately need, but you've prevented any single individuals from taking advantage of it. Another example that I heard a lot in college, actually, I minored in philosophy, so these kind of conversations would come up frequently.
How enlightened of you, Will.
Yes, thank you, quite. It's the old analogy about, you know, is 100 guilty people being let go is better than 1 innocent person being convicted type deal. Like a just system would be better off allowing those who might have, you know, committed a crime or whatever to not be punished for it, as long as they're not actively punishing those who did nothing wrong. And I have definitely heard arguments on both sides of that. I think people's base worldview as to whether they would rather have a system prepared to react according to the situation present, or do you want the system to react to whatever the individual issue is at the forefront?
Yeah, I think that's an excellent question. You can add in a layer to that as well as guilty until, or innocent until proven guilty, and you should never have the presumption of guilt and things of that nature. But I think having a government that responded and say, like when it comes to this example, this audit of the Department of Health Services response to the COVID-19 pandemic, the alternative to delay was Wisconsinites dying. Like it was a novel virus that we had never seen before in 2020, and it's I think needs to be contrasted that certain state lawmakers decided to wait and miss out on funds, which to a Wisconsin taxpayer, those were federal funds that were available to us that we missed out on. That, in my opinion, is waste. But at the same time, is that worse or better than a audit showing that not all the grant documentation went in, not all the ventilators got accounted for properly? We want to hear your thoughts. 844-967-2789. You're listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. I'm Luke Mathers, joined by William Walter on a Wednesday afternoon, and you can join us as well. We're going to dive into some more Wisconsin headlines and tangents when we get back. We're listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. Joined on a Wednesday afternoon by William Walter. You can join us as well on the phone lines. Call or text 844-967-2789. This one, we lost an icon in the music industry this afternoon, or earlier today. Tina Turner, passing away at the age of 83. That's a icon right there. And this... This one will be stuck in my head now for the rest of the day.
Well said.
Yes. And so one goes out to Tina Turner, 83, passed away at the age of 83. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. As I noted, you can share a tangent with us, 844-967-2789. Discussing, as Will pointed out, almost a philosophical question about how we expect our government to react. Is it better to be proactive or reactive? Is it better to respond to the crisis if it means a little waste, or should you wait and then maybe miss out on federal funds because you don't actually vote in time then? There's a, I think, a, a medium that should absolutely be there. There should be an expectation that the government is responding and not being willy-nilly handing out grants and everything, responding to an emergency with no regard to the funds that come from the taxpayers. But at the same time, I think saving lives and preventing death is a way that the government needs to be calculated as well. And so you pointed out,
you want them to be as efficient as possible financially, Luke, but obviously the role of government should be to protect the citizens that it represents. And if you're going to just throw away their life over a casual couple of dollars, then what purpose do they serve?
Yeah. Or in this case, some lawmakers refusing to acknowledge the actual problem that was killing residents. But mm-hmm. you pointed out an analogy before in the last, at the end of the last segment, and you said you wanted to get the official out there so that you...
Yeah. So I didn't just make it up on the spot. It's known in criminal law as Blackstone's ratio, expressed by English jurist William Blackstone in his seminal work Commentaries on the Laws of England, which was published in the 1760s. He said it is better that 10 guilty persons escape than one innocent suffer. And that idea has been... supported by some of the other great thinkers, even in American history, such as Benjamin Franklin, who stated it's better 100 guilty persons should escape than one innocent person should suffer. So I'm not, I'm not just being a little pacifist here for fun. This is an idea that has been discussed and debated throughout the course of history.
Yeah, several hundred years. Well, I want to hear your thoughts. 844-967-2789. Again, talking about it, a piece over at the Associated Press written up by Scott Bauer discussing a Legislative Audit Bureau audit that reviewed the grants and ventilator distribution in Wisconsin during the height of the COVID-19 pandemic. But it's not the only thing that's going on right now with here in Madison with the statewide news. We've also got a ton of different stories that we're covering, Will, around the state, specifically when it comes to the Joint Finance Committee and mm-hmm. special elections. And so let's dive into that special election right now. We've got an update, the filing deadline, I believe yesterday, but this, your neck of the woods, Will.
Jump into my neck of the woods. I love it.
Yeah. The 24th Assembly District. According to J.R. Ross over at Wispolitics, there will be no primary for that Assembly District that was vacated after this past spring's special election for the 8th Senate District, won by Dan Knodel.
Does that make this a special election squared, or like, I'm no mathematician. How do we make that?
I think it's a special election.
Special election.
Is it assistant to the? I don't know exactly how it works.
Can we get somebody on this? Where's Michael Gableman?
Exactly. He doesn't know how elections work. That would be the worst. He's openly admitted it in front of a microphone. He doesn't know how that works. So,
but can we give him a couple million dollars of taxpayer money to try to find out anyways?
I would love to audit that. I would love to audit that. That would be a great thing to audit. But this. We get back to the original tangent on the special election for the 24th Assembly District. There's not going to be a primary for it, Will. This is a little bit of a shocking news. It is a heavily conservative district, gerrymandered maps and all here in the state of Wisconsin. But Republican Paul Melodic, an Ozaukee County supervisor, the only Republican to file before the deadline, and Democratic candidate Bob Tatterson, a retired engineer, the only Democratic candidate to file before that deadline. So the special election going to be held on July 18th for this seat. Your thought on the Assembly District, Will, that's right in your backyard.
Well, more so than in my backyard. I'm in its backyard. This is my Assembly District.
It is where you reside.
I currently am living in the 24th Assembly District. It's really surprising. A lot of my local contacts, we expected, I shouldn't say expected, because, you know, Governor Evers didn't announce the election until May 5th. So it's literally been a couple of weeks that we had to gather signatures and all that. But I was hearing as many as 3, 4, potentially 5 people could toss their hats in the ring, assuming that because it's about plus 25 Republican district, that whoever wins the primary will likely win the general. And we're seeing the effect of that heavily gerrymandered district in particular across the United States frequently, that I think that's one of the reasons that certain parties have, you know, Republican legislators have kind of been able to cater to the more extreme ends of their base, is because some of these seats are so safe that they're able to just, they just have to out MAGA the other guy in the primary, or the other candidate in the primary, excuse me, and whoever does is good to go.
Yeah. So interestingly enough, not going to be a Republican or Democratic primary for that assembly district. Special election going to be held on July 18th. So folks, if you thought elections were done here for 2023 in Wisconsin, you are mistaken. Special election, July 18th, something we'll be keeping an eye on here at Dueling Tangents. If you want to share a tangent with us, I'm Luke, he's Will, 844-967-2789. We're going to continue our Wednesday afternoon edition of Dueling Tangents when we get back. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on a Wednesday afternoon by William Walter. And Will, I just had the realization, coming back from this segment, I don't know where Evan keeps that clip about feeling great on a Wednesday. So you're just going to have to sing it. You're just going to have to sing it today, because Evan, on much-needed vacation, I believe, the only person I believe on the Civic Media team that hasn't had a vacation as long as I have. And I'm taking care of that next week. And you and Evan are going to have a good time here on Dueling Tangents in my absence.
But Papa Luke's out of town, so yeah. It's about to be a party, people.
So when I leave next week, you and Evan holding down the fort here on Dueling Tangents. But before that, he's taking some much-needed R&R himself. But folks, you could join Will and I here on a Wednesday afternoon, 844-967-2789. Share a tangent with us on this Wednesday. No, we're begging for some answers. This is an interesting piece, Will, over at the Journal Sentinel, writing it up, but then also the commentary from the state lawmaker the piece was written about. So yesterday, the Joint Finance Committee, Wisconsin Joint Finance Committee, is the legislative committee responsible for writing the budget here in Wisconsin. They took the budget proposal presented by Democratic Governor Tony Evers and couple weeks back now, removed 545 provisions all in one vote. Didn't debate it, didn't talk about it, no conversation surrounding it, and stripped those out of the budget. Yesterday, the JFC, Joint Finance Committee, had a ton of more votes around what should be included in the upcoming budget, and all of those votes, 12-4 party line. Will, is the state of Wisconsin a 75% Republican state, would you say?
Well, why don't we look at the results of our recent gubernatorial election, where incumbent Democratic Governor Tony Evers won by a Wisconsin landslide. I believe it was 53.5%. So, Wisconsin is, we're famous for being arguably the most purple state in the country. We have this reputation as being one of, if not the most battleground of all battleground states. But it's pretty evident that extreme gerrymandering has allowed the Republican electors to really stack committees in a way that benefit their worldview and allow them to push whatever narrative they find worth discussing on that day. I mean, look at the Supreme Court election from this November, right? That was 11-point victory for Judge Janet Protasiewicz.
10.5.
In a 50-state.
You could round up to 11, but it is 10.5.
Oh, 10.5. My apologies. Remember, I'm still disappointed because I projected 15. So
yes, smaller
I'm
than that.
I'm frustrated with myself.
But it's an interesting dynamic. Yes, we're a very purple state, but this very powerful committee in the state legislature, made up of 12 Republican lawmakers and four Democratic lawmakers. Effectively,
again, I'm not a mathematician, Luke, but that is 75%. Significantly higher than the results of our recent statewide elections.
I can do easy math like that on the radio. I can't do very complicated math on the radio, but 12 out of 16, that's 75%. And so it is a very interesting dynamic. And so through all of these votes that were taking place yesterday on the Joint Finance Committee, Republican lawmakers, even though they have this giant majority, the 75 to 25% composition of this, the most powerful committee in the legislature, in my opinion, they're responsible for writing the budget. And even with all that power, even with all of the votes going 12 to 4, Republican lawmakers then decided that lead this committee to cut the mic off of one of the Democratic members of the JFC after not wanting to hear what he had to say about including a provision. Now, this provision was a study for a program, not even including the program itself into the state budget. So Republicans wouldn't even hear one of their Democratic colleagues advocate for why the state should study a provision, not even implement the provision of paid leave. And
you got to know too, Luke, that paid family leave is heavily supported amongst Wisconsin voters across all demographics.
Yeah, it's a popular program. And as we discussed earlier, there are a number of popular initiatives that the state legislature could take up that Wisconsinites in droves support. Red flag laws, the topic of the beginning of yesterday's show. Paid leave, what we're discussing now. There are a number of provisions that Wisconsinites would love to see enacted, but the mics are getting cut off on their state lawmakers. And so State Representative Evan Goyke of the Milwaukee area shared then the clip of his comments before the JFC, a part of the JFC, after his mic got cut off. And so I think it's a very interesting clip. And so I wanted to play it for the people. And this is State Representative Evan Goyke on the committee hearing yesterday discussing this.
It's not some radical policy. It's not a public benefit welfare. It's earned. Workers pay in. And they get that back when they need it. It's not an entitlement program. It's earned by working. It's not an encouragement to not work. You don't get it if you don't work. You don't get paid time off if you're unemployed. Time off from what?
Representative.
I'm responding to my colleague. And Mr. Chair, you have cut me up. You can turn off my microphone all you want. You can silence the debate and have procedural motions. You guys have buried your head in the sand on this issue. You lost in November. You got trounced in April. The more you silence us, the more you turn off my microphone, the more elections you're going to lose. Because the people of the state of Wisconsin want action on this issue.
That is State Representative Evan Goyke before the Joint Finance Committee yesterday discussing a provision to study a paid leave program here in Wisconsin. Not to implement paid leave, not even talking about doing what the state of Minnesota, our neighbor to the west, just did in this most recent legislative session. A provision included in the budget just to study what it could mean for Wisconsin. Will, is that not the very least? Like, If you truly want to find things that work, shouldn't you be funding studies like this? We've got a surplus of nearly $7 billion.
Well, unless you're very well aware of what the data is going to show and you are afraid that the results that you get back, or I shouldn't even say afraid, if you know exactly what it's going to say, you're terrified that the results will just bolster your opposition, then you shut it down before it can gain too much traction. It's on brand. It's very on brand.
Yeah, it goes to the old adage of you shouldn't ask a question if you already know the answer and it's not an answer you like. So, folks, 844-967-2789. If you want to share a tangent with us here on Dueling Tangents, I'm Luke Mathers, joined on a Wednesday afternoon by William Walter. And Will, it's very interesting because the piece written over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel on this piece, the Laura Schulte piece at the Journal Sentinel, talks about how a provision for paid leave was in the budget proposal removed from the budget proposal that Evers put forth by the JFC in that vote, 545 provisions all swiped out at once. But the $243 million program that would provide 12 weeks of paid leave for public and private sector workers in his budget proposal, that is a fraction of the surplus. That's not even that's how much it would cost to implement. Not just that's how much it would cost to study the program. It's insane right now that this is such a widely supported proposition.
Remember that Tim Michaels also supported this program.
He's a businessman. It's good for business. Mm-hmm. It means that other businesses would have. I don't know what the leave program at Michaels Corporation would be or what it is, but there are businesses across the state of Wisconsin. Main Street Alliance, a advocate for Main Street businesses, is all in on a paid leave program because it would transform the business community in our state. And you cannot tell me that this would be bad for business. It's supported by the public. It makes sense. And Republican lawmakers, as State Representative Evan Goyke pointed out, are burying their heads in the sand on this one.
I got to quote Shannon Zimmerman, a Republican of River Falls, who said paid family leave was just another way that taxpayers would end up paying for those who didn't want to work. Quote, I mean, we have a shrinking pool of workers, and the answer that we're hearing is let's continue to find more ways that shrinking pool of workers are going to support those who don't really want to work or can't work, he said. So that's going to counter to what we're trying to accomplish here entirely. I can't help but laugh, Luke, at the notion that, hey, we're losing workers. How do we get more workers to want to work for our company? Let's not give them benefits that every other country in the first world offers. Let's not even give them the same amount of leave that we offer to animals. Like you can't take a puppy from its mother before what, like 6 weeks, 8 weeks or something, and we don't afford that to humans to take care of their child. Like it's disgusting. It's frankly embarrassing. And Republican elected officials coming to this conclusion that, oh, people just want to take off of work. You know, Rep Goyke pointed it out. Take off of what? If you don't have a job, what are you taking off of?
Like, right.
Not even getting into the fact that being a parent, a lot of studies have shown that that is a full-time job, if not more. Raising a child requires so many hours a week of dedication.
Oh, yeah.
To just dismiss that as taking time off to enjoy yourself is so disingenuous. It's grotesque. Frankly, it's grotesque.
It is grotesque. And last week, when the Minnesota budget was signed and their legislative session came to an end, the stories on it were that Minnesotans raised taxes. They had a historic their budget surplus was like $16 billion, way more than what our state is currently facing of a surplus. And they still raised taxes, I want to say, by about $1 billion or $2 billion, mostly asking the wealthy to pay their share. That's who they raise taxes on. And Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, the Republican leader of the state assembly, said, well, I can't wait to see all the U-Hauls coming across state lines because Minnesotans or the Minnesota Democratic Farmer and Laborers Party, DFL, is raising taxes on their citizens. And it's like, I'm sorry, if you're anywhere near the border of Minnesota or Wisconsin, and you now have one state that offers paid leave, like there are a statewide paid leave program, which Minnesota will now have in the coming months, and Wisconsin does not. I have a feeling that those young parents or those individuals trying to plan a young family are going to be choosing working and living in Minnesota over working and living in Wisconsin. And so
that's not even talking about cannabis or abortion either, Luke.
Yeah, there's a lot of different reasons why Wisconsinites may be leaving, especially young Wisconsinites that we've seen.
Particularly young Wisconsinites. But
study after study showing that we are losing young Wisconsinites in droves, and we are going to be 130,000 workers shy by the end of this decade. By 2030, the state's workforce, 130,000 workers shy.
Have you considered snowbirds, Luke? If we can get them to stay that extra couple of days. I have it on good authority that Robin Voss says that will fix like 90% of the problems in the state of Wisconsin.
I still don't understand how that math works out. 844.
I'm not a mathematician, Luke.
844-967-2789. If you've got a tangent to share with Will and I, you are listening to Dueling Tangents. You can call or text. We got one more segment left in the day. We're going to get to your phone calls. But it is just baffling to me. And I think everybody should be hearing State Representative Goyke's comments on these votes that took place before the Joint Finance Committee yesterday, Will. I think it absolutely...
You got to note, too, Luke, that his microphone was shut off immediately after recounting Tim Michaels' comments. So he noted that the Republican nominee for governor supported publicly paid family leave for mothers and fathers, then was muted.
Well, if you let people know that it's a bipartisan issue that we could see action on because other states are doing it, folks, that would again be under the lines of, oh, well, we don't want to study something that we already know what the outcomes would mean. 844-967-2789. Share a tangent with Will and I on this Wednesday afternoon. You're listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media.
Feeling good on a Wednesday. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Trey, if you're listening, I can do voiceovers. I would love to work on the show. Give me a holler if you're interested.
You sent out your resume while on the air.
I wouldn't be lying. I can't lie. So as long as I had the opportunity presented to me, then I'm going to take it. Like, I'd be foolish not to.
I'd be foolish not to. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. Sometimes we begin the segment with a tangent. 844-967-2789. You can share a tangent with us here. Call or text. And you're listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. I'm Luke Mathers. He's William Walter. And let's head over to the phone lines. We got a couple of tangents waiting on the lines. We got Karina in Milwaukee calling in. Karina, what's on your mind this Wednesday afternoon?
Well, it's more of a confusion, I would guess. And maybe because you guys are so smart, honestly, and know more than I do, way more about politics than I do. I can't understand. So Republicans can filibuster for months, and the Democrats on every level, including D.C., do not turn microphones or kicking them out of a room like they did. Where did they removed three Democratic officials?
In Tennessee.
Because mm-hmm. there were so many. Yes. And how is it that the Republicans can do that to Democrats? I just don't get it. Why the Democrats allowing to happen? Okay, they turn off the microphone, turn it on.
You and I are in agreement in a lot of ways, in the sense that I think Democrats way too often want to act like, you know, we're the civilized party. We're going to take the high road here, and we're going to do things the way they've always been done, not recognizing that their opposition is willing to do whatever it takes to win. And if they don't start behaving in a similar fashion, if they don't start doing what their constituents want them to do, they're just going to keep getting run over. It kind of fits into the analogy that I make frequently on this show that we have the Harlem Globetrotters versus the Washington Generals, right? We have one team who's just running laps around the other team because their opposition is more designed to appear as if they're providing some actual an actual game, as if they're, you know, really competitors on the court. And in reality, it's just a dog and pony show. So don't even get me started on that, because I could sit here and rant for hours about situations where that's been applicable in the past year alone.
Congeniality matters to Democratic lawmakers and Democratic figures, and it no longer matters whatsoever to Republican lawmakers. They've just thrown out that aspect. There's no "for the institution's sake" or things like that, unless they're invoking things of that nature in bad faith. Because that's you can't do away with the filibuster. The filibuster is an institution, and things of that nature. They will feign over them when it comes to a purpose that serves them. But if Mitch McConnell, and he showed that if he wanted to get rid of the filibuster, done. Mm-hmm. It did not matter. It was just maybe a minor speed bump, but that was it. Nothing more to him.
And at the national level too, Luke, as a specific example, we have two senators who don't exactly go along with the party. A majority would be an exaggeration, but they're a lot further right than I think the majority of Democratic officials are, and they are beholden to the same corporate donors, and they decided, particularly with some of Biden's more progressive policy agenda, that they would have no interest in supporting that. So despite the Democrats' one-vote majority, they weren't able to get anything done because two of their members voted against their own policies, right. And Republicans don't really do that. They fall in line at every situation applicable. You noted Wisconsin and Tennessee as well. Remember that the GOP has either a supermajority or very close to a supermajority in both of those states. So you are able to kind of, I don't want to say bend the rules, because rules only apply if everybody takes them seriously.
It's just ignoring of the rules in some regards. Yeah. Folks, 844-967-2789. You can share a tangent with us. So we got Brian and Madison calling in. Brian, what's on your mind this Wednesday afternoon?
I got one small little tangent. Since it seems like you guys have lost a Brian for dueling tangents with Luke and Brian, I thought I'd offer my services since I'm a Brian.
How do you spell it, though, Brian? Are you fancy, like the big guy?
I spell it with an I, the only way it should be spelled.
What? Oh, see? Look, I'm sorry.
Sean's fired. Brian's catching strays. He's not even here today.
That's a disqualifying factor. You got to have the fancy style. Like, see, Will kind of helps fills the void because he's interesting. Will, you want to share?
I do not have time for that right now because I'm going to be a 10-minute rant.
I thought maybe
let's
I'd
hear
be
Brian
the boring one.
Well, no, see, no, Will spells his name W-I-L. And so
that's how the name is spelled, Luke. W-I-L-L is the word. Like, I will go to the store. I will do blank. I will do whatever. Will, the name is W-I-L.
I
thought you were about to lose Will because he's putting out job offers on the air.
Yeah, he's doing that too. You know, we apparently he's letting the creators of South Park know.
I have a pass for South Park. That's like my that's my one freebie.
Well, appreciate the assistance on this Wednesday afternoon, Brian, filling in for the fancy guy. That he's hard at work. You're gonna hear a new and improved signal across the Dane County area, 92.7 FM here for Mad Radio, getting a nice little tune up because of the big guy's work. So yes, he may be absent from the airwaves, but I can tell you his presence is felt across the Civic Media Network, and we could not thank Brian enough for the work that he's doing behind the scenes. And believe me, if he could be here on the airwaves joining Will and I, he absolutely would. So we appreciate the phone call. Brian with an I here in Madison. The big guy is definitely hard at work behind the scenes. If you want to share a tangent with us in the final minutes, 844-967-2789. But Will, it is just a very interesting to take a look at what this Joint Finance Committee is doing to silence, stifle, and quiet the they've already only gave Democratic lawmakers 4 seats on the panel, and now they're resorting to turning off microphones because, as Fancy Brian likes to point out, if you run out of any good ideas, you stop wanting to have the conversation. Mm-hmm. So, folks, you've been listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. If you missed any portion of the show, go check out the podcast, civicmedia.us. You can click on the show tab, head over to Dueling Tangents. You can see today's edition and all previous editions as well of Dueling Tangents. You can also find the podcast wherever you find podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, all of the different places. And you can give the show a follow on social media at Dueling Tangents on Twitter. You can drop us a tangent there as well after the show. Will, really appreciate you joining me on this Wednesday afternoon. I'm still shocked you didn't file that WIL name for that.
I was going to say, are you going to start calling me like Will with one L? Is that going to be like the joke or something, as if that's different and everybody else isn't wrong?
Little Will. Lil Will. Lil Will. It's just shorter.
You sound like Donald Trump making nicknames up out here.
Folks, Dueling Tangents will be back tomorrow at 2 p.m. Talk to you all then.
See you later, party people.